You can open to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 23 is where we're going to go. Father, thank you for everything that you have done. Father, everything you're currently doing in our lives and everything that you will do. Father, you're the same yesterday, you're the same today, and you'll be the same tomorrow. So, Father, we can rest in the fact that if you've been good and are good, you will continue to be good, and we thank you for it. Father, you're a good Father, and we thank you that you care about every single area of our lives. And Lord, you didn't leave us down here to wander or to wonder. No, but you gave us your Word, and we're so thankful. The Word is like a light. The Word is like a lamp unto our feet and unto our path. It guides us and it keeps us from things that we otherwise maybe would have stumbled upon without the Word. It helps us to get through things that come against us. We're so grateful for the Bible. Help us tonight to say what you want said. Speak through me, that my words would not be my own, but that of the Holy Ghost. And Father, I thank you, Lord, that I'll speak as the oracles of God and not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but a demonstration of the Spirit and power. And Father, it is humbling to be here, to be able to minister your word to such precious people, people who, Father, are blood-bought, who are children of God, who are so valuable and precious, Father. They need to hear from you tonight. And Lord, they made the effort to come out on a Wednesday night. So Father, I thank you they don't walk out of here empty-handed. They walk out of here filled, satisfied, blessed, and changed. And we'll give you the glory for it. We'll give you the praise for it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Last week when I was preaching, of course I was meditating last week and the Lord dropped in my spirit to preach on healing, and we did. And really the focus of last week's message was that the Word's enough to get us through. Amen. That the Word's enough to get us through, and thank God for the Word. And we just hold on to that Word, and He gave us His Word, and praise the Lord. We got to get a revelation of that Word. But while I was preaching last week, He dropped in this week's message as kind of a builder on to last week's, and so I'm just going to obey that. So I've known for a week what I was going to preach on, just been meditating some things. But 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 23 says, "The very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." And so He's talking about us, and we've talked about this before, that we are a three-part being. The real us is a spirit, but we also have a soul and we have a body. And we talk a lot about, you know, spiritual things and feeding our spirit and growing our spirit, man, and feeding on the Word so we can build our faith and things. And we know around here that faith is important. We stress it around here on purpose, you know. If you're majoring in biology in college, there's a reason that you're getting a lot of biology, because that's your major. Right. And the Spirit of God told me years ago when we started this church, I was walking my, now it's the dog we pray every night, Abby prays, I thank you, Wrigley's up in heaven playing ball with Jesus. So I was walking Wrigley, and he said, "You'll major in two things at this church, faith and love." And that was the order he gave him to me. And so we talk a lot about faith. And for good reason, you know, it's how you please God, it's how you overcome, it's how you receive, it's how you are justified, it's how you quench the fiery darts of the enemy. And we can go on and on, you know, about that. And so we talk about faith a lot, but the thing that I think at times, and it was interesting when the Lord dropped this in my spirit last week, because I wasn't even thinking about preaching on healing last week until He did, and then wasn't thinking about this message until it dropped in there, is that we preach on faith, and we know faith in the Word can, our faith in the Word can get us healed. Right? We don't need a minister to lay hands on us. We don't need to go to some special anointed or wait for a gift of the Spirit. Thank God our faith in the Word is enough. Amen. That's exciting, praise God. Because I don't have, I mean, that'd be cool if we all had healing powers in our hands to just touch ourselves, you know, and just, what, I'm healed, my head's hurting, I'll touch my head, you know, and you could lay hands on the sick, yeah, but I'm talking about, you know, we'd sometimes look to gifts of the Spirit or ministers, but the Word's enough. Amen. One part of faith, I think that we, only way I could say it this way, is that God didn't give us faith to flush our brains down the toilet. And a lot of times, I think, I do think this, you know, I think, man, people must have flushed their brains down the toilet because they're They're believing God for healing, but yet they're neglecting the natural side of the person that they are. And there is a natural man. There is a natural side. You know, one example I'll use, and we'll get into some of this stuff, is, you know, thinking we can flush the natural down the toilet. I remember hearing years ago of a minister, a lady minister, and she's thriving with God now, but she dealt with major anxiety and panic attacks, and she was on a lot of medication for that, but got a hold of the faith message and thought that faith meant take your medicine and throw it away, you know, and because you know who, because the idea is if you're on faith, why would you need medicine? And God never said throw it away, you know. And they did, and had the worst bout of a panic and anxiety attack that they ever had, and had to get some teaching that, hey, just because you are believing in faith, you got to have your faith to a certain level before you can get rid of that medicine. That there's a natural side still too. And there's a side of wisdom, praise God. And a lot of times we throw wisdom out, and we'll get into some of these examples. And when it comes to prosperity, and when it comes to healing, and we'll focus mostly on healing. If we have time, we'll just dabble a little bit into some other things, just make mention of some things. You can't neglect the natural. Again, I'll give you verses and examples, but when you're believing for healing, you can't neglect the natural. The natural plays a part. When you're believing for prosperity, the natural plays a part. If you're believing for a spouse, man, you got to shower. I mean, you got to shower. You think I'm joking, but I was one person I was dealing with years ago. I was believing God for a spouse. I said, ain't no man. Well, it didn't come from me. It had to come from her in a meeting with me, but I couldn't say it. But I wanted to say, I said, ain't no man going to be interested in the way you look. Because they weren't putting any effort in at all. It was just, and their attitude was, well, they can take it or leave it. Okay, well, they're probably going to leave it. I'm telling you, if you want a spouse, you got to shower. You got to look nice, and you can't be mean to people. There's a natural, is what I'm saying. Hallelujah. So we can't neglect the natural, and so let's look at some of these things tonight. And if there's correction that we get, God loves us when we're corrected. I should say it's a sign of love when we're corrected. You know, we talked a lot about on Sunday about correction, and I could see on my spiritual radar, you know, that there needs to be extensive teaching on humility and receiving correction, because it's easy to praise God when other people are getting corrected, or you hear about Pastor Mike getting corrected, but when it comes across your plate, man, it can be a lot to chew on. And if people don't receive correction, it can really hurt them. But the Bible tells me, I just renewed my mind to the Word. That's why I always brag that I'm God's most loved. So you think it's all about arrogance. It's really humility, because I'm saying God loves me the most because He's corrected me the most out of anybody. And He said, a demonstration of my love is when I correct you. I said, well, then I must be loved, because I am always getting corrected, whether it's by the Holy Ghost, whether it's by His Word, whether it's by my pastor, whether it's by another minister I'm in a meeting of. So I know I'm loved. So you'd think, man, that pastor's so arrogant. No, he's so humble when he says it, because I'm just telling you, I've been corrected a lot. And so let's look at some of these things. So we welcome correction. We welcome instruction. But when talking about healing, and yeah, the Word is enough, in the sense that we don't need anything else to be a catalyst for our healing. We don't need a minister. We don't need a gift of the Spirit. We don't need some special service. But there are some things in the natural that can hinder and stand in the way of our healing, or can help us walk into sickness. I heard Brother Hagin say this, and it stood out to me so much as a minister and as a young man. They asked Brother Hagin, what's your biggest regret? Now here's a man who lived into his 80s, had crusades all over the world, ministers, thousands and thousands of ministers come up under him all over the world, churches sprung up out of his ministry, signs, wonders, and miracles. And so when they ask him what his biggest regret is, someone like him who's finished his course, who's got a well done, thou good and faithful servant, I'm sure when he saw Jesus, I want to hear what he says. Yeah. And Brother Hagin said this, the greatest regret that he had on planet Earth was not taking better care of his body. Out of anything, he said, I wish I would have taken care of my body better. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so, go with me to Philippians chapter 2. You know, people, I think at times, well, I'll just confess the Word, but I'll still do this in my life. Come and not expect it to affect me. Or Pastor Mike, well, I'll just wait for Pastor Mike to have a healing anointing service where the healing anointing drops on him, and I'll just keep living however I want to with my body, and it'll just all be taken away. That's not how it works. Now, I've heard of other ministers say this, and it's happened to me a few times, where the Lord has told me, specifically people that are believing for healing, do not pray for their healing because they will not get their healing, and it'll make me look like a liar. And it was because of what they were doing naturally. And I've heard other ministers say the same thing. They said, don't tell them. And then the Lord revealed, why don't pray for them? Because they're doing this, this, and that, and I can't trump that. So Philippians chapter 2 and verse 25, look at this. It says, yet I supposed it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in labor and fellow soldier, but your messenger and he that ministered to my wants or my needs. Verse 26. For he longed after you all and was full of heaviness because that you had heard that he had been sick. So this Epaphroditus, this messenger to them, was sick. Verse 27 tells us how bad. For indeed he was sick unto death. What's that mean? He's so sick he's going to die. But God had mercy on him. And not on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. Basically, Paul said, I'd have been heartbroken to lose this minister. I sent him, therefore, the more carefully, that when you see him again, you may rejoice, and that I may be the less sorrowful. Receive him, therefore, in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such in reputation. Now look at verse 30. Because for the work of Christ, he was near unto death. Now, you might read that and think, my goodness, what a man. So, what a servant of God that he was doing so much in the ministry that it almost cost him his life. But see, God doesn't call people into the ministry for it to cost them their life. God doesn't say to people, okay, one of my conditions for you being in the ministry is you got to give up your health and your body. No. But the Bible tells us the key. The next statement says, not regarding his life. It wasn't because of the ministry. Yes, the ministry was the work he was doing and going and going and going. But the problem wasn't the ministry. The problem was that he didn't regard his life to supply your lack of service towards me. So his motives were right. His intentions were right and commendable. But I'll tell you this. Over the past few years, one of the things that the Lord's been dealing with me about is taking better care of my body. When I heard Brother Hagin say that, delving into this more, what can I do? And one of the things that we'll hit on, not too much here tonight, just we're going to look at some things quickly, is the area of rest. And that is you talk about a dirty four-letter word. That's a dirty four-letter word to me, rest. I'm not someone that, you know, I'm going and going and going and going and going. I'll just tell you the truth about it. If the Lord would let me, I'd start a church every night of the week in different places just to get the word. I would do it. It wouldn't bother me a bit if he'd let me. Now, I know that's not going to be the case because there's a natural side to things. But that's just the way. And I've been corrected in my heart a lot because, you know, you can have the right intentions to go, 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 go. But if you go, 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 go and wear out, you're no good, 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 good anymore. You'll go, 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 go for a while and make an impact. But then if you're doing good, then all of a sudden you're taken away and you can't go anymore. What good is that? And that's what happened to this guy. He was going so hard and so, so strong that he didn't regard his own life, that he was almost dead because of it. So being in the ministry didn't just make him healed. Being a child of God didn't just make him healed. Confession can't trump that. Amen. Standing on the word can't trump those things. And so if Brother Hagin says he wishes he would have taken better care of his body, and we see when you don't take care of your body, it can affect us, we better learn some things about healing. Amen. And the first thing I do want to talk about is just rest real quick. And I know, even for a lot of people around this church, I know we have some very, I'll say it this way, people with tremendous work ethics around here. But you can't neglect the word because you have a good work ethic. And I know when I say the word rest to a lot of people, it goes in one ear and out the other. It just like, don't talk to me about rest. I'm just going to keep going and going and going. But I heard Pastor Michael say this one time, and I'll never forget it. He said, you better take the time to rest before you're forced to rest. I would rather take the time to rest than have no choice but to rest. Amen? That's what he said. I said, wow, that stood out to me. My goodness. So let's just look at real quick what the word, I'm not going to teach a lot on this. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 2. I want to bring just one little point out about rest, because I'm not here to preach a whole sermon on it, to hammer these points, you know, until we're blue in the face, but just to mention them. And if there's a thing in your spirit that you get a little check on, make an adjustment. God wants to keep you around here for a while. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 2 says, and on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all the work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all the work which God created and made. Right off the bat, we see God instituting something that he called was blessed. He said, the day I rested was a blessed day. God was setting forth a precedent right from the get-go that he was saying to us, if rest is good enough for me, how can we as natural beings think that rest isn't good enough for us? Pastor Michael calls it violating the law of rest. That's the way he puts it. He has a tremendous teaching on it, on rest. So God says something about rest here. Now, go with me to Mark chapter 2 and verse 27. Now, the one thing we do know is that when it comes to the New Testament, we're not as strict as the Old Testament in certain days of the week. The Sabbath day, the Old Testament was a set day, they rested. New Testament, we're not that law-oriented. But the spirit of what God is saying still exists. Rest is still needed. And Mark 2, verse 27, I think is such an interesting and eye-opening thing concerning rest, because there are people, and I've fallen into this trap, and I've been corrected. I've gotten sick before. I've been corrected and had to slow down. There are people that will go 7 days a week and go hard 7 days a week, and you can't say a word to them about it. It's almost like it's this, I don't want to say pride, because I don't believe that they're trying to be prideful, but it's almost like to some people rest is such a dirty word, that because you grew up with such a good work ethic, that rest is for the weak. Rest is for the wimpy. Well, I truly believe, and I've learned this with myself, that it actually takes faith for a person to rest. Just like it takes faith to do anything else in the Word for people to actually, that are go-getters and go-go-go-go-goers. It takes faith. But look what it says in Mark 2 and verse 27. See, some people think, well, it's wimpy to rest, or it's lazy to rest. Well, then you're calling God wimpy and God lazy because he rested. Jesus said on the Sabbath, or the day of rest, was made for man. And not man for the Sabbath. What's he saying? This was instituted for mankind's blessing, for mankind's benefit, to rest, to slow down, to take a load off. Go to Mark chapter 6 and verse 30. Mark chapter 6 and verse 30. So God saw it fit that we should rest. We saw that even when you're doing something, isn't it amazing? It's always amazing to me that Aphrodite, he was doing a noble work. It wasn't like he was, you know, is I have to make sure sometimes I don't speak as eloquently as I should, and it can come out sounding not so good, but when you're doing the work of the ministry, baling hay could be noble and commendable, but it's not changing lives. Like, you don't understand what I'm saying. Why I'm saying this is because here was someone that was doing work that we would all say, man, that's noble. He's changing lives, and spirits are being born again, and people are going to heaven, and Aphrodite is doing it, yet that wasn't enough to spare him from the neglection of rest and taking care of his body. So if a minister who we can say that's doing the work and helping people and helping Paul, we know, wow, that's some eternal life-changing stuff. Please, if you bail, hey, I'm not coming. I'm not saying you're a loser. Does everybody understand what I'm saying here? Then what would think that us that are working our jobs, our natural jobs, we're not going to be spared just because we have a good work ethic and just because we want to be spared? I mean, he's trying to show us with Epaphroditus, everything that's in the Bible is there for a reason. He's trying to show us, hey, even when someone's doing the work of God, if they neglect this, they're going to pay for it. Mark 6, in verse 30. And the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. They're excited to say, Lord, this is what we're doing. We're going. We're taking care of business. And look what Jesus doesn't even, he didn't want to hear it. And he said unto them, great job, boys, let's keep going and let's mount up and let's go get another city. No. He said to them, come. You yourselves, the ones that are working hard doing the ministry, apart into a desert place. What's that represent? A quiet place. Where it's not filled with people and ministry and work. Come yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. Some people think, man, why did Jesus swear there? For there were many coming and going, and they had no much leisure, so much as to eat. He's saying, you're so busy. So much work's being done, you're not even finding time to eat, let alone rest your body. So what's my point here when it comes to taking care of your body? Well, we saw with Epaphroditus. There was no rest in that man. There was no coming apart and taking time off. Even for something, because I'm sure in his mind he thought, there ain't no time to rest. And I know that's what a lot of people think with what they get caught up in their jobs, their businesses, and affairs of life. They think, rest, Pastor Mike, what are you talking about? There's no time to rest. Well, say what Pastor Michael said. Either you make time for it, or you're going to be forced to do it. Because it's called it's violating the Word of God. So what am I saying here in this point? If God thought you needed rest, and Jesus thought you needed rest, we probably need rest. Now again, there's no law, it has to be on a Sunday, or it has to be for this, but there needs to be some rest where you're not working, where your body is getting a chance to recuperate. Amen. You know, Vinny, you know, working out and things, you bodybuilding and stuff, is rest a huge part of muscle building? You can't just go 7 days a week and 3-4 hours a day and never rest. Why? Because without the rest, the body can't build itself back up. It's a huge part of it. It's a huge part of it. And here we go with bodies that were not designed to go. So hopefully this is helping someone here, because this is what's on my heart. I imagine it is. I feel like I felt or led by the Spirit, you know. And what about read studies on the effects of not getting enough sleep? Oh, I don't have time to sleep. You better make time for these things. Amen. Hallelujah. Lord gives his beloved sleep. And so the Sabbath was made for man. God was giving us an example to say in the highest of the highs, the greatest of the great took time off. The greatest of the greats. I really admire my Amish friends. You know, they still kind of delve a lot into the Old Testament with law mentality, but one thing I'll tell you, on a Sunday, I do not, if they're doing work on my house, I do not dare call them, I do not dare ask them. They are not about any work. They make it a point to take care of themselves, and I admire that about them, because we get into a habit. What's this come down to, being a doer of the word or not being a doer of the word, right? We want people to stay. We want people to have longevity. We want people to be healthy. Well, I'm believing God for my healing, but I never take a day off. I never rest my body. I don't get enough sleep. You're flushing. You're trying to use faith, but you're flushing your brain and wisdom right down the toilet. Yeah. Hallelujah. Now let's get into one. Let's get in some real toe steppers here. Some toe tappers. What about eating and exercise? Remember what Brother Hagin said, the number one regret that I have is not taking care of my body. Now let me just read something that Again, because why? Because God didn't give us faith to flush our brains down the toilet. Listen to this article that I was reading. I can't remember what medical place it was. It was a reputable, notable one. But I didn't quote them. So if they're listening right now, I might get some hate mail. But I'm going to go out on a limb and say they're not listening. But if they do, I apologize to you. But anyways, it says Americans suffer from an epidemic of food-related diseases. That means because of what they're eating, they're having a disease. Such as obesity, type 2 diabetes, cardiovascular, liver, kidney diseases, some types of cancer, and Alzheimer's disease. The U.S. government estimates that about half of all American adults, half of all American adults, 117 million people, might be more now, I didn't even see exactly the year it was. It was in the 2000s, and I think around 2010 it was when this was out. Have one or more, I bet you it's gone up, have one or more preventable. You know what that means? Not necessary. This isn't me just making this stuff up. This is doctors here. Have one or more preventable chronic diseases, many of which are related to poor quality eating patterns and physical inactivity. Rates of these chronic diet-related diseases continue to rise. There's a faithful lady that goes to the Olean Church. She's a what's the one thing step below a doctor? You know, they're not a doctor, but she can write physician's assistant. Yeah, she's got all. I mean, she's like right there about being a doctor, you know, and writes all the prescriptions and things. And she knows a lot. And she says, I can't tell you, you know, people that come in that are. Well, it's kind of like this. Pastor Nancy told the story one time. She went in and had something wrong. I don't know if it was high blood pressure or cholesterol or what it was. Something was off. And the doctor said, do this. It was change your diet or change exercise. Do this for 6 months. Come back and see me. She came back and see that the problem was completely gone. The doctor was shocked. What did you do? She said, what you told me. He said, yeah, but you don't understand how rare that is. Because why? Most people don't do the right thing naturally. And I'll tell you, I think we can get tripped up when we teach so much faith that, well, faith will just overcome my bad eating. Faith will overcome my bad exercise habits. Faith will overcome the fact that I don't rest and I don't get enough sleep. Faith will overcome it. No, there's a natural side to man. There's a spiritual side to man. Epaphroditus was our example. If you neglect the natural side of man, it will show up. Doesn't matter how faithful you are. Amen. Go to 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 19. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19. You know, sometimes we give way too much credit to the devil. We do. We should give credit to ourselves at times. And don't tell me the devil made you eat that Whopper. He didn't make you eat that Whopper. He gets a lot of credit. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 19 says, what? Don't you know that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? You do know you're not your own. That's what he's asking. He said, don't you know this? You are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You know how you glorify God in your body? You do the word. Yeah. Amen. Well, when he says rest, how do you glorify God in your body? You rest. Yeah. Come on. Yeah. He's talking about being a temple. Think about if we had a revelation, because if we realize what our... I can see why Brother Hagin's saying this from a spiritual and a natural example, but even from the spiritual, let's look at the spiritual for a second, and then we'll look at something from the natural. I was laying there today, and it dropped in my heart an example, because I was just meditating on this, trying to... You know, I pray for illustrations and examples at times, and I'll tell you what I got in a second. But anyways, from a spiritual, think about it. When you put something in my safe at home... there's precious things in my safe, guns and documents and different things and things that are, I don't put, just so you know, we don't store the Charmin in my safe. We don't. It's not where it's just sitting out where anybody can get it. You know, the dog wanted to grab it, you know, and mess it up. We don't put the sharp in the safe. But we also don't leave the valuable things and the precious, priceless things just anywhere. We put them somewhere that they're safe and protected, a special place. Well, God put Himself inside you. You're the temple of the living God. We see, we haven't got that revelation. As a young guy dealing, I remember being at Rhema at a riverside. I was kind of a loner, you know. I still am to a lot of degrees, but I was at this little place you could park and walk along this river. And I had my Bible, and a young man, just dealing with sins of the flesh as a young man that you have, and wanting to live holy and pure to God, and just meditating on this, 1 Corinthians 6:19-20, until I got a revelation that I don't have a right to do anything I want to my body, because there's something so precious being housed in it, and He said, I'm not my own. And see, a lot of times, if we would get a revelation of this, it would change things. Especially when you realize you're not your own. And you don't have, you're really trespassing against, when you treat your body wrong, you're trespassing against something that's not yours. If the Bible really says you are not your own, you are not your own, then we can't look at ourselves as being our own. And we have a revelation, I've used this before, none of you would go out to my truck and start hitting it or get in it and drive it crazy or go through McDonald's and leave the wrappers on the floor. You just wouldn't do that because, number one, you have a revelation, this isn't mine. Right? Aren't people always extra careful when they drive somebody else's vehicle or if they go to somebody else's house? You're more careful with it. Why? Because you have a revelation that's not yours. What if you had a revelation that your body wasn't yours? Rest is no longer an option. Eating right is no longer an option. Exercise and take care of yourself, getting the right amount of sleep is no longer an option if you're not your own. Now, go to 1 Timothy 4 and verse 8 real quick. We'll read this verse before I give you what I was meditating on. 1 Timothy 4 and verse 8. I'm sure other people preach this revelation, have this revelation, but I don't think I've ever heard it from anyone. I believe God gave this to me. I can't remember ever hearing it. If I have, and that's where I got it, so be it. I don't care, as long as it's good. But 1 Timothy 4 and verse 8 says, bodily exercise profiteth a little bit. Now, we know now it profits more than just a little. You know, we have greater studies on it now than... Now, he's talking in comparison to spiritual. Spiritual and bodily, you should give more time to the spiritual. But we do know that exercise and diet are a huge part of walking in health. So, I was meditating on what Brother Hagin said. He wished he could take better care of his body. He still lived into his 80s. Wished he could take better care of his body and meditating on this. And think of this way. This is the only body you get. There's no do-overs. There's no trade-ins. This is it. And it dropped into my spirit about a car. Imagine if you were given a car from the time you were 16 years old, or maybe even if you did it now, and said, this is the only vehicle you're allowed to have for the rest of your life. The only one. Oh, man. We'd make sure we're washing it and getting the salt off and waxing it. I mean, we'd probably step it up a notch in how we take care of our vehicles if it was the only one we could ever have. We'd go in for the routine checkups and maintenance that they recommend. We'd put the best fuel in. We would. If it was the only one, I probably would start buying 93 gas all the time. If it was my only one, I'd make sure to put the most expensive, the best oil in, put the best this in, put the best. If it's your only one, the way you drive it would be different. You know, you'd probably, if your car was out in the elements, it'd probably become a priority to house it somehow in the wintertime. And, you know, I'm saying if you're not doing all this stuff, don't worry about it. We can just go get another one. Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't take care of your car, but I'm saying if there'd be a difference, you should take care of your vehicle, and you should be a good steward. But I'm saying the level of care, if you had a revelation, I don't get any other one. I can let this thing rust. I can run it into the ground, but this is it. I'm going to have to walk the rest of my life. Like if that was a thing in America, you get one car. Well, guess what? That's the way it is for your body. You only get one. And when it's wore out and it's broke down, there ain't no trade-ins. Go down to the body lot and get a new one. You know, usually the body lot is for the human body is, it's got a sign that says Gold's Gym or Planet Fitness or the fruit and vegetable section at your market. That's the best you can do for the body shop. Fix your body. Amen. Hallelujah. I was talking about natural things with a body. There was a few years, I don't even know how many years ago it was now. Caleb was little. Abby wasn't even born. And, you know, the peaceful days. And she don't know. And and so, anyways, back in those calm, peaceful, quiet days of life, remember I said, you know, you get married. You know, when you're single, your life is yours. When you get married, you'll lose half your life. You have kids, your life's gone. And when you have Abby, everything disappears. Just, Abby took everything away. Look at her. She loves it. She knows it. She's contending every day. Praise the Lord. She is precious. I wouldn't have her any. I talk about her like this and joke, but I would not change one thing about it. I love her personality. She's a spunk, just like I know you love your kids and their personality and things. But I was driving past a house of some friends of ours that go to another church, another family church. And as I drove by, I got a word of knowledge. The reason this person can't have a baby is because they don't eat right and they exercise too much. Wow. That they're crazy exercise. And you know, it's hard for a woman. There's a lot going on there when a woman's getting pregnant and carrying a baby. The body needs to be, you know, for that to be, a good, healthy situation. And so this person some of the most intense workouts on the market that are, well, things that are labeled, just to give you an idea of what kind of a workout, things that are labeled insanity. That gives you kind of idea what kind of workout, you know. When I hear insanity and I hear stroll in the park, they just aren't the same. There's a little difference in exercise levels there, you know. But that's the kind of stuff, you know, and P90X and these high profile, you know, push till you can't push anymore and go as hard as you can for a certain amount of time, things like that. So that's what, and I got that word of knowledge. I had no idea. Well, it was weighing and weighing and weighing and weighing on me. And they were friends, so I stopped and I said, this is the craziest thing. I said, but this, I drive by your house and this dropped in me all of a sudden. And she started crying. And she said, you know, my pastor got the same word of knowledge about me a few months ago. And I hadn't changed. And I went to this other pastor. I said, I just wanted to let you know what happened. Oh, yeah. She said, I know, I've gotten the same. Hear what the Lord was saying is, yes, you're using faith for a baby, but there's a natural side that's being neglected, that's hindering and holding up the process. Just showing that there's natural sides to things. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, what about talking about, and I think we'll just stay on this and close down here in a minute because we don't need to get into all this other stuff, but when it comes to medications and going to the doctor, you know, a lot of times people, you know, there's a thing called, that faith is measurable. Yeah. And we've talked about that if faith is the currency of heaven, well, if, just like money is the currency on earth, when I go to the store to buy a pack of gum, I don't need to bring as much as if I'm going there to buy filet mignon, you know? You have to have more there. And there's certain things in life that, you know, if you're believing God for a shed, that's a certain amount of faith. Whether you're believing God for a mansion, that's a different level of faith. Yeah, you're believing God for a bicycle or believing God for a brand new 2018 vehicle. It's a little different level of opposition and faith that you're going to need. It's like Brother Hagin would say, you know, there's times where believing for a dollar bill, believing for $10 was all the faith he could muster up. And now he said, he's passed away now, but his later years he said, I can believe God for $1 million just as easy as I could believe God for $10. His faith grew. Because it's according to our faith. And if our faith isn't there, well, I've had people many times. I had one lady in Olean just tormented, had horrible, horrible back problems. And, you know, the doctors said, you know, we can get surgery and get that fixed. But in her mind, she had thought, well, if I go the route of doctors and go the route of surgery, I'm out of faith and I'm displeasing God. Well, I picked up on in conversation, so I started digging a little bit, because it's one thing to actually have the faith for it. It's another thing to say you have the faith for it. And so I was digging a little bit, and I got the revelation that she doesn't have the faith for this. And so I was able to talk her down off that ledge and say, and get her to a place where she realized, because here's the thing. The doctor said we could get this taken care of months ago. You recover and it's gone. She's still broke down, can hardly move and hardly walk. I said, and basically without just coming out and say it, your faith's not working here. You know, again, now it doesn't mean when you're going through something, things don't look like they're not changing. It doesn't mean your faith's not working. We know that. But you know when you're in faith and you know when you're in doubt. And I knew before I said that, because there are times that people are going through things and pressing through and it doesn't look like there's any hope on the horizon, but they're in faith and it is changing. It just hasn't shown up yet. But there's other times, like, you know, people believe in God for bodily healing and things, and they're eating like garbage, and they think they're believing, but they're really not believing. They're neglecting things or whatever. So I was able to pry and dig a little bit and find out, you know what, she doesn't have faith. And so I basically point out, your faith's really not working. And she started crying, and she said, I don't really believe that I can. I just don't want to displease God. I said, God would be more pleased if you got in faith for the surgery and believe for a supernatural speedy recovery. So that's what we did, and that's what happened. I remember a young lady come to me, and she had had a lot of problems in her mouth and needed a lot of work done on her teeth, but didn't have any insurance, and that stuff's not cheap. And I said, well, God's a healer. Teeth aren't a problem for him. Let's believe God for your healing. And I thought, this is such wisdom. This was from somebody that was, I'm not even 20 years old, I don't think, at the time. Maybe 21 at the most. I said, Pastor Mike, I got to be honest with you. I know God's a healer, but my faith isn't there yet for the healing of this problem. And I said, well, could you believe for the money to get? She goes, oh, yeah. Well, her faith had been more developed. Because whatever you give yourself to, that's where your faith's going to rise. Didn't we say that last week? If you need healing, get in healing scriptures. Get your faith built in healing. If you need prosperity, get into prosperity scriptures. And so she had evidently taken the time to really be in financial things. And that didn't surprise me, because she had struggled all her life financially. She was not really sick all her life, so she didn't take a lot of time to develop her faith in healing. She had developed her faith in finances. So I said, can you believe for the money? Oh, absolutely. I said, well, then let's agree for the money to come. And then you know this is a sign that you need to work on your healing. Because why? When the problem shows up your door, that's the wrong time to get built up. That's why we talk about being in the Word day and night. Meditating on faith scriptures every day. Meditating on healing scriptures. Meditating on prosperity scriptures. Why? Keep ourselves sharp. So let's believe God for the money. We prayed and believed God. And the money supernaturally showed up. And she got the money for him and got her teeth fixed. Praise God. I remember talking to someone, another person that had a back problem, and they were just determined to get their healing. Now, let me say this, because this is truth. The highest and best way is to not have surgery. Right. Nothing wrong with admitting that. I mean, if you don't got to get cut open, that's why I always laugh is when they say minor surgery. Listen, you put a knife on me, ain't nothing minor about anything. That's why I think anything. Anyways, get that knife away from me. But, you know, no medication is God's highest and best. Not having to go to rehab and that's the best. But if our faith's not there, we see in the Bible, Luke was a physician, so evidently God's not against doctors. God's not against medicine. Thank God, actually, for modern medicine and help while we can develop our faith. See, religion and the devil will jump on you and say, oh, you're in a faith church and you're taking medicine. Oh, no, you just reject that. We're all works in progress. We're all growing at our own rate, praise God. And I remember this person was bound determined, I want to get my healing, because they were just convinced they're no good. And I go to a faith church and you teach about healing. Just because you hear about healing doesn't mean you have faith for healing. Just because you know that God's a healer doesn't mean that you know that He'll heal you and that you're convinced of it. Doesn't mean you've crossed that threshold of faith. Remember we talked about head knowledge, mental assent versus knowing in your spirit. Well, I got down to digging and found out this person is not there, but their faith is. They believe that the doctors can do it and that God can through the doctors. So we got them on their faith on there. The doctors did it. Their back's fixed. They're out living their life. Praise God. Hallelujah. So we're going to stop right there because I'm not going to keep going further and just talk, but I've done that, I think, before probably. It just kind of dries up around here and sucks the air out of the room. So it's okay to be done, we're done. But I want to encourage you here tonight. If your heart was touched, if you say, man, Pastor, I eat like a hog. I'm lazy. I don't do anything. I overwork myself. I don't rest. And you're standing and believing to be healed, you're fooling yourself. You're fooling yourself. Our body's like a machine. We got to take care of this thing. Just the same way if you neglect your car, you don't get oil changes. You're rough with your vehicle. You're hard on your vehicle. You don't take care of it and just let anything happen to it. It's going to rust out. It's going to wear out. It's going to break down. It's not going to be good. Yeah. Same with your body. So yes, the word is enough, but don't neglect the natural side when it comes to healing. And maybe on the other side of these next 2 weeks, if the Lord permits us, we'll look at some of the other natural things with prosperity, because I'll tell you what. Some people believe for money, and it's like, that's a joke. The Bible calls it having bags with holes in it. Put your money in bags with holes. You know what happens when you put your stuff with bags and holes? It falls out. It's not there. You're putting it in, but where's it going? Yeah. People, again, I'm just giving you a taste of what's around, hopefully, when we get back, but people believing for their kids to be godly and serve God, but let them watch anything they want and do anything they want, listen to anything they want, hang out with whoever they want. The house of God never gets made a priority to them and the things of God. And they wonder, why is my kid acting like the devil? I'm believing. I'm speaking faith over my kid. Yeah, but you're letting them watch and you're letting them hang out with and you're letting them listen to. And church is optional, but you're wondering why. Because there's a natural side to parenting. It's not just my kids are going to serve God all days of life. They're arrows in the hands of a mighty warrior. They're going to fulfill God's plan. At the same time, watch whatever you want, stay up, do whatever you want, hang out. I'm not going to have any filters. I mean, there's a lot to it. There's a natural side is what I'm trying to say. So maybe we'll look at that. Maybe we won't. We'll see what the Holy Ghost says, but let's pray. Father, thank you for helping us tonight. Lord, we were helped tonight. We know there's a natural side, Father. We don't want to neglect the natural side. Father, we didn't want to spend a lot of time on each of these, but Father, we covered them enough for people to recognize a check in their heart if I was talking to them. Because to believe for these things, to believe for healing, but to do nothing right with our body is ignorant. It's flushing wisdom and flushing our brains right down the toilet. And that is not what the Word was meant to do. The Word and faith was not meant to trump wisdom. The Word and faith was not meant to trump being smart. We couldn't all of a sudden... start acting stupid and expect faith to work. No, there's a natural side. So, Father, I pray that everybody here, that their eyes would be open. If anything that I said tonight, Lord, was something that, wow, you know what? Yeah. Yeah. Diet, diet, diet. Diet, 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 diet. Diet, diet, diet. Diet, 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 diet. I just saw a picture of someone. They don't even go to this church. Battled high cholesterol, like severe things with heart. And the Lord just showed me all would be fixed by diet. They're standing in faith. They believe in healing. They believe in healing. They're standing in faith. Don't even go to this church. Diet, diet, diet. It would all be fixed by diet. Whoo. So, Lord, I just pray, Father, if there's anyone here that had that same check in their heart about exercise, about diet, about rest, about sleep, about neglect, Father, I pray that they would make adjustments, Father. Your plan is longevity. Your plan is to be healthy, to do your work, to fulfill, to be around with our families, to be a blessing to our families, to be a blessing to the church, to be a blessing to the kingdom of God. So, Lord, we thank you for correction tonight. We thank you for instruction, for revelation, for illustration. And, Lord, we just declare that we'll be doers of the word. We'll be doers. I just have all my spirit that there's nobody here that needs to be born again. Let's just pray in the spirit for a few minutes. I don't know why, but it just seems good that we do that. So let's just lift our voice. There's something that needs to be prayed out. I don't know what it is. We won't be here long. Just seems like we need to do that right now. Reto sombro danda mati sita toto scotra bahata da setre redo mondo dunada setle me corta shatra reta mahata de setre batoto sara banda de kute te sotra batata draba des andromo gombrondate sedrebe kwete de sotro botota setra nambra desco trombo mondromo motra kata setrete sotro botosa trabata drama mate desca trebe bebe trombo tasca traba drama mama traba bat de costo brototo na badrana cande te sobro gandate se bretu a sabrata te se tre dreventosco trombo montro mama tra che te so tromata drama andate se contro bosco probo troma sabrate se tre drabate se tono no mama mat te chieto lo so co trama te te se l'anno me se trebe te te che namra mama tata se te yep. That's why. Matata sete umatonda e apata sete te. Bunda namaska tresa mahautodo sotra nasetila bata sete. Te fatoso trobo toso trobo toso drama da. Denda mata de sete te. Now, I don't know everybody in here as far as what they have in their life as far as spiritually, and I don't know everybody that's listening now or that's listening future, and I don't know who this is for, but this is what the Spirit of God said. The breakthrough that you're looking through in your life is getting filled with the Holy Ghost and speaking in other tongues. Until that becomes a reality, and again, I don't know everybody in here who's filled, who's not filled. I mean, I know some, obviously. And I don't know who's listening on live stream. I don't know who will listen in the future. But the breakthrough you're looking for is getting filled with the Holy Ghost and speaking in other tongues. And until that happens, there's not going to be a breakthrough. It's going to be like pounding your head against the wall. It's going to be, you're going to come up, bam, get put back. Come up, bam. That's when I get my spirit. The breakthrough that you're looking for is being filled with the Holy Ghost and speaking in our tongues. Father, thank you for our help. We worship you tonight and we bless you. We praise you, Father. We thank you for your mercy. Bless everybody as they go tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed. Love and appreciate you.
Or change your mind. All that you say is what you do, all that you promised, you're seeing through. So we wait on you, Lord, and we rise to your voice. The shout of the King, the Son of God, the presence.
your presence now here with us. The sound of praise, all in the name Jesus Christ, the one who saves. The shout of the King, the Son of God, your presence now here with us. The sound of praise, all in the name Jesus Christ, the one who saves.
Spirit of God, speaking to myself in psalms and hymns and songs, praying much in other tongues, it gets me through the door, but I won't stop there, no, I'm going on to more. Well, I'm living full,
I'm living full
of the Spirit of God,
of the Spirit of God.
I'm speaking to myself in psalms and Spirit, I will see more enjoyment as the rivers flow, drinking up pure refreshment for my soul. I'm living full,
I'm living full
of the Spirit of God,
of the Spirit of God.
I'm speaking to myself in psalms and hymns and songs, praying much in other tongues. It gets me through the door, but I won't stop there, no.